Amen. What a blessing that was. Someone says Easter has already passed. The resurrection's every Sunday. We come every Sunday to worship and praise a resurrected Savior. So it's never a wrong time to promote the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the young people did a tremendous job with that tonight. And boy, they gave a clear presentation of why Jesus came and what we have now, what he has to offer us because of his paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross. He offers anyone who will believe and receive him everlasting eternal life. And what a blessing it is to know that we worship and we serve a risen Savior. We're going to be preaching from the book of Matthew tonight, though. Matthew chapter 17. While I got you standing, we'll go ahead and read this passage of Scripture and then have you be seated after that. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus ascended up to heaven. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And throughout the month of April is our prayer and fasting awareness month. And understanding the power there is in prayer and what a blessing it is. We preached on that this morning, the understanding of a biblical prayer life, a biblical prayer life and what it takes to pray, what God says it takes to have prayer and have prayers answered. In Matthew chapter 17, the Lord Jesus was teaching a very important truth concerning prayer and fasting. If you will, Matthew chapter 17, let's read verse 14 down to verse 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence ye yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. Thank you for the children and the message that they have presented to us concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift that is available to anyone who would just simply believe and call upon you to receive it. And I pray, God, if there is someone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that you would speak to them. They would sense your conviction and they would come to know you tonight before it's eternally too late. And then, Father, as we study on this idea of prayer, I pray that you would just open up our understanding to it. Bless in the preaching of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Prayer and fasting. Prayer, as we even preached on this morning in our morning service, it's a spiritual activity. It's far more than just a physical act of closing your eyes, bowing your head, and just speaking some words. Jesus taught us that prayer was a spiritual matter. And not only is prayer a spiritual matter, because it is prayer that allows us to have access to God the Father. And we pray to God the Father. We have a Heavenly Father in heaven that we pray to. We pray through the Son. There's no way of coming into the presence of God the Father outside of through Jesus Christ the Son. And that's why he is ever living to make intercession for us. And they've seen him ascend into heaven. And knowing that he is there interceding for all believers, enabling us to come into the very presence of God, if you will, in the Old Testament have been the holies of holies. And so we have access into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop there. We have an indwelling Holy Spirit that even helps us to know how to pray. And so we pray to the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a spiritual act. Prayer is a spiritual act, much more than a physical act. It's a spiritual act. And we find here that Jesus is trying to help the disciples to understand a hindrance to praying is, first of all, doubt. Now, there's some things that will not take place. You're not going to get the victory through prayer unless you add fasting to prayer. And that's why we want our church to be mindful of the extended power of fasting, prayer and fasting. He says in this idea of the disciples had been casting out devils. They had been doing a lot of miraculous things. But they come across this one boy who was demon-possessed, and they had often cast demons out, but they could not cast this demon out. The Bible says they couldn't do it. And afterwards, they ask him, why could not we cast this devil out? And he said, it's because of your unbelief. But then he said, and some of these things, howbeit this kind, you're going to face some things in your life as a born-again believer that if you do not have the understanding of the power of not only prayer, but prayer and fasting, you're not going to be able to get the victory. And he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and the extended power of prayer in fasting. Fasting is an extension to prayer. Now, fasting outside of prayer is just a diet, amen? But if you fast in regards to what you're praying for, and you make that fasting not a physical act, but a spiritual act, there is great power in prayer, and there is even greater power in prayer and fasting. One of the blessings that you receive as you receive Jesus Christ is a tool of prayer. And too often, the believers, the lost will try to mimic it, but they can't get through because they don't know Jesus Christ. You can't come into the presence of God except through the Son. But believers don't even understand the power that we have through prayer. And God would have us to know that and understand that. So that's why we find this passage of Scripture, and Jesus is trying to help the disciples not only to understand the power of prayer, but the power of prayer and fasting. So just a couple minutes here, and I'm not going to be long, but what are the hindrances to answered prayers? What are the hindrances to getting your prayers answered? As the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, he firmly revealed to them, and he said to them, they needed to know this first and foremost, because of your unbelief, doubt. Possibly the reason that you're not getting prayers answered is because you're not saved. If you're lost, do not believe that you're going to be able to get prayers answered by an almighty God. Because the Bible says if you're lost, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. If I am dead to God in my trespasses and sins, then God will not hear my prayer. I am dead to God. There's no communication there because I am dead to God in my trespasses and sins. The only prayer that God will listen to from a lost man or woman is the prayer of salvation. The prayer of repentance and asking God to forgive you of your sins and come into your life and receive the gift of everlasting life. That is the only prayer that God is going to listen to a lost person because of the penalty of sin. The wage of the sin is death. If you're dead to God, you can say all that you want to say, and you can ask until you turn blue, and you can bow your head and you can close your eyes. But that's an act, a physical act. That's not a spiritual act. To get answers from God, prayer is a spiritual act. It is something, it's a spiritual endeavor. It's something that we do through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and realizing we're praying to a heavenly Father. Wow. Doubt. So the hindrance that he reveals to them is unbelief or doubt. James chapter 1, let me just read it to you. It'll go faster. Write it down so you can study it afterwards. But in the book of James in chapter 1, verses 5 down to verse 8, it helps us to understand this very same thing. Verse 5, it says this. James writes, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, God wants us to have wisdom. But you have to ask him for it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're wavering in your belief in God, if you're wavering in your understanding of God, if you're wavering in knowing whether or not God's going to answer this prayer or not, the Bible says, for let him not think, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God does not want you to doubt. God does not want you to be unstable. God does not want you to be wishy-washy. God wants you to live a life of faith. Believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. Understand that you have access to God through him. And pray in faith. Don't doubt. Pray in faith, believing that what you're praying for is something that God can and will answer. Biblical prayer. Another thing that is hindrance to answered prayer is a lack of a willingness to give. Being selfish in our own lives and just thinking about me and mine and ours and not looking to anybody else. Proverbs chapter 21, write these verses down, go back and study them. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You stop your ears and you're just thinking about self and not thinking about anybody else, anybody else's need. Listen to me, that's not the type of mindset, that's not the mentality, that's not the spirit that God is going to bless. Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. Very powerful book because Israel turned away from God. Because they turned away from God, God had turned away from them. And now the prophet Malachi, they ask him, why? Why is God turned away from us? And why don't we have power in our prayer life? And Malachi answers chapter 3 and verse 8, and he says this. Will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, not blessed and ready to have your prayers answered. The Bible says if you're robbing God and you're robbing God through tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, not only answer your prayers, but let the blessings of God flow down upon your life. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We're wanting God's blessings, and yet we're robbing God. We're wanting God's blessings, and we're not living to be able to be a blessing to others. That's not the mindset that God blesses. And that is a hindrance to anyone getting their prayers answered. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, going right along with that, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth, and if God loves a cheerful giver and you become a cheerful giver, can I tell you, then you have positioned yourself to have prayers answered by an almighty God. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I believe that all things is having your prayers answered. Amen. So hindrances to answer to prayer is doubt, unbelief, lack of a willingness to give. Can I tell you, marital strife, it's in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. outside of your relationship with God in this life that we live, the second most important relationship in your life, if you're married, is your relationship with your spouse. Because you, in God's eyes, you're one in God's eyes. And God has given you each other to establish a Christian home, to establish a testimony, to be a part of a local called out assembly of believers where you can make up that body of Christ and have an example and have a testimony to the world. The church is only as strong as its families. And the Bible says concerning this marital relationship, and he puts most of this emphasis on the head of the home that God has given that responsibility to, and that is the man of the house. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's what makes for a solid relationship, what's inside of us. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. All of that to say this, that your prayers be not hindered. God reveals to us, you want a powerful prayer life? You want to have answers to your prayer? Then you make sure that not only is your relationship right with God, but your relationship is right with others. Starting with the most important relationship on this planet Earth, if you are married, if you're children, I believe that you can replace that with the relationship you have with your parents. If you want the power of God upon your life, then you have to have right relationships. You see, it takes two to make any relationship what it ought to be. But it only takes one to be right with God in that relationship. And if both of you are right with God in that relationship, you have a good relationship. And so if I have a bad relationship, if I have a relationship that's struggling, the main thing that I want to do is look to God and say, God, help me to be all that I can be in that relationship. So if that relationship fails, I'll know that I have done everything that you would have me to do. And those that are doing all that you can do, then God says, I'm on your side. You have my blessing. And I'll take care of you no matter what the outcome. Because your desire is for God's will to be done in your life. And you are looking to be everything that God wants you to be. And in doing that, God says, pray. Amen. And I'll hear your prayer. Amen. And I'll answer your prayer. But if you fail to have that desire, don't come to me in prayer. That your prayers be not hindered. Matthew chapter 5, he helps us to understand that with Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, a powerful sermon. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, he says this, listen to me, let me just read it to you. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, you want to have a relationship with God. You're wanting God's blessings upon your life. And you want to have this gift. You want to even to give a gift to God. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar. I'm not going to receive that gift unless you are right with in the relationships of your life. Leave there the gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. If a brother has aught against you and you know about it, then you are instructed to go to him to work it out. If you have aught against a brother, then you are instructed. It's each one of us are instructed, no matter if it's him having aught against me or me having aught against him, is go to him and get it worked out. Do your part and to have the kind of relationships that God wants you to have, because if you don't have the kind of relationships that God wants you to have and you're the one at fault, don't even bother to pray. Because God says, I'll not hear you. That's powerful. That's a powerful truth. There is power in prayer and greater power in prayer and fasting. But if you have hindrances in your life, you're not going to get your prayers answered. Can I tell you, there are many things that can hinder prayer. I just mentioned a few. But the most common hindrance to prayer is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, and this is it, we're done. Psalm 66. We have been through this prayer and fasting awareness month, and God, we have seen God answer some great prayers. I mean, things that people have been praying for years, and God has given them victory, and God has answered prayer. It has just been a blessing to see the power in prayer and fasting, and we see it every year we go through this, and it's just an awareness month. But you can pray and fast all year long. But the Bible says this in Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity, that's sin, something I know that God is not pleased with, something that I know that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, or something that I'm not doing that I know I should be doing, that's iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Don't bother praying. You make a choice. You rather have that sin in your life, or do you want a relationship, a fellowship with God? Do you want to hold on to that sin in your life at the cost of having your prayers heard and answered by a creator God? Hold on to that sin. You can do that. God will never force you. But if you're holding on to sin, don't bother praying, because God will not hear you. Proverbs 15. We're done. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He said, if you're wicked, you don't have a chance of me answering your prayer. The only thing that I'm going to hear from you is a confession of you're a sinner and your desire to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Outside of that, don't be asking for anything, because it's not going to help. It's not going to be answered. But if you have in your heart a desire to walk with God, you have a desire to please God, you have a desire to fellowship with God, he says, ask what you will. Because God has his ear open. And the God who created all things is able to do some great and mighty things, even moving mountains, if that's what it takes. God can move mountains. He created the mountains, if that's what it takes. We are never where we cannot pray or where God cannot hear. But will God answer? And that's left up to us. If you have hindrances to your prayer life, if you're lost, you need to get saved. Jesus died and resurrected to prove that he's the Savior. Have you put your faith and trust in him? If you're saved, you need to confess and forsake that sin. And once you have confessed and forsaken that sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can be positioned back into a place where you can pray and have your prayers answered. It's up to us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you want a prayer life that's real? Do you want to know that it's just not a physical act that you're going through by bowing your head, closing your eyes, and just saying some words, but that there is a God in heaven that hears and has a desire to answer? Have a real relationship with Him. Be committed to having a real relationship with God. The benefit of that is answered prayer. Father, we bow before You tonight. We do love You and thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for the cross, which makes it all possible, allows us to have an intercessor, allows us to be able to come into the very presence of God in a place You have revealed as a holies of holies, a place where we can be heard and have our prayers answered. God, I pray tonight, if there's one here right now that's lost, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You convict their heart. Help them to see very clearly what they need to do to be saved tonight. If there's believers here that have been blinded by sin, I pray that they would see what that sin is doing in their relationship and fellowship with You, and they would confess and forsake it. They would prefer a prayer life than whatever sin they might be engaged in. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.